Good afternoon. We'll start this informal hearing with Otter Tail Power. It is case number PU-23-173 regarding their new bill redesign and the informational filing. It is 1:31 p.m. on June 28th, 2023. I'm Randy Crispin, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioner Haugenhofer and Commissioner Fedorchak, so we have a quorum, but for our record, we need to go around the room, have everyone ID themselves, including our guests, so we'll need to pass a microphone around, please.
Brian Johnston, staff.
Jerry Schmaltz, staff.
Victor Shook, staff.
Adam Renton, staff.
Matt Olson for Otter Tail Power Company.
Jessica Fury, Otter Tail Power Company.
Jolene Schmidt, Otter Tail Power Company.
Judy Burrow, Otter Tail Power.
Shelley Bosky, staff.
Kim Ward, Otter Tail Power.
Laura Dewey, Otter Tail Power.
Stacey Walland, Otter Tail Power.
Valerie Moxness, Otter Tail Power.
And Stacey Ebrill, Commission staff.
Okay, I don't have any opening comments that Commissioner Haugenhofer can do.
Just a few. I had the privilege of meeting some of the Otter Tail staff to the left of me. So can someone, like, indicate who these individuals are, and just so there's an understanding here. So.
Sure. I'm going to give you a mic.
Thanks. This is Jess Fury with Otter Tail.
So our team back here is our fabulous filing coordinators. They are the ones that keep all of the filings moving along through our internal systems and get them compiled and out the door to you guys. And so they are the ones that get the stuff done for all of our SMEs. And then Jolene and Judy work more on the customer service side of things. Jolene is our customer experience. And then Judy works with bill quality assurance. So anytime we're changing rates in our billing system, Judy works through a process of testing those in a test environment and then giving authorization for them to go into the production environment and then verifying them once they get into the production environment and actually on customers' bills. And then I am the manager of regulatory proceedings, so I oversee all of these guys except for Jolene. So,
Commissioner Harbin, or Commissioner Fedorchak, did you have any comments before we started?
I really don't, but it's great to see all of you. And I think it's cool. Did you just decide to have a road trip to Bismarck, all of you? Or is there another meeting that you guys are all coordinating with?
There is not another meeting, but it's an opportunity to be here and see how the work, every single one of these filings that comes through the hands of these folks or the customer impacts that they might have, to see how it plays out here at the commission and then eventually to our customers. So good experience for everybody to have.
I like it. That's really great. So kudos to you guys for making that happen and taking the time to do it. I think it's great for us, our team as well, to see the faces behind all the paper
exactly
and stuff.
Okay. Well, this has been an informal hearing. It involves only undisputed facts. If there are any disputed facts, we'll have to wrap up and issue a notice of hearing. The applicant goes first, so it's your portfolio. I'll leave it up to you to lead them into it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Randy. Thank you for this very detailed application. It was easy to follow. And when talking with staff, I initially didn't have a lot of questions, but under your introduction, you said, we request that if the commission has feedback on the changes described below, you would appreciate that. So when looking at that, we thought what better way is knowing what you expect from us or what kind of feedback you want, we would have this informal hearing. So Matt, I'll turn it over to you to maybe have you walk through some stuff and see where you would really appreciate some feedback from us before we go into any questions that we might have.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, commissioners. Thank you, Commissioner Haugenhofer, for introducing it and for your review and thinking ahead to the feedback that we might need. Maybe I'll start with the fact that I am the elected spokesperson here, but by no means the expert on all that went into this process. You know, some of those folks are in the room here. I think Wendy Olson is also connected online, so we do have one more person involved in this process that is connected that way. And then many others who were involved in the design elements and then the surveying of our customers to get that input. So a lot went into what we have here. And my hope for our time is really to just sort of walk through the information that's in the filing that we made so that you can understand what we have presented already. And then, as we said, have some time for questions if there's things that you're wondering about how they might play out. So I did just offer a few slides. They are, the information here is really not new. It's all already been presented, but I will just go through those and see how that happens. I started here with our vision slide when it comes up, and it's one that internally we see a lot, but you may not always see it. Our vision for our company, which is growth and success for our company and the rural communities we serve. This entire effort is very customer-focused. You know, there's a lot that goes in here for how we are conveying information to our customers, and the bill is one of the most critical touch points that we have in conveying information. Of course, it's the information they care most about, perhaps, which is, you know, their usage and the payment related to it. So we want to present that in a clear and understandable way. We want to be able to avoid questions if possible, but then if there are questions, be able to use what they've been given through that bill to explain the answers they might need. So a lot of that comes out in this new design. So that's what I want to talk about today. A few points for us here then. Our agenda is fairly brief. Kind of a little bit of background, why it is that we are asking for this and requesting it, which is it's been a long time coming in some ways, and it's time for it. We'll talk about the process we went through to develop the new design, the things that it will really bring or enable for the sake of our customers, and then we'll have a time to see some samples of what the new bill looks like. All right, a little bit of background here. Our current bill design it's been around for a while. It's served a good purpose. It really was a result of the legacy customer information system that we had, and that was operated for 30 years before we replaced that system. And we went to our new CIS system in 2019, which has already been a few years ago now, but we didn't attempt to make the bill redesign change occurred at the same time as the customer information system change, very purposefully, because we didn't want to introduce layers of confusion. We wanted to make the changes we needed to make on our side first, make that clear as much as we could, and then we could come back with the bill that fits, and we have experience to work from to know what things we can do and what things our customers need. So that's really where we're at today, which we have now a few years of experience, and it's really paving the way for what we are asking for here. There are some limitations of our current design, and part of it is kind of how the new system and the old bill interact. You know, there's information that we have for our customers and their usage or their metering that doesn't show up very well on the current bill format, and the new design will solve those problems in a great way for our customers. One of the issues we have is in a display format, we can't get a certain number of characters, and then certain information might not come across clearly. Also, if customers call, our CSRs are looking at the new system, and customers are looking at their bill, and if they don't translate well, it's hard to describe exactly what they're looking at versus what they're being billed for. So this is going to solve, I'm not going to say all the problems in the world. It will still have questions, absolutely, but it will make it easier for our customer service representatives to be able to explain what's happening for customers. One other limitation we had there, the third bullet I had there, is that the current format only displays the most recent payment, And if a customer has made a series of payments, perhaps since their last bill or something, only the most recent is going to show up. So then they're wondering, did you get my prior payment? And, of course, on the CSR side, yes, they can see them, but they have to relay that information to the customer every time. So this will solve that problem.
So do you have some customers that send in multiple payments on a monthly bill?
You know, these are lots of good questions that I'm going to have to defer to other people who are more familiar with it. I'm going to say I assume yes, but, you know, Jolene can, you know, just, yeah.
Jolene and Judy, maybe.
You're welcome. There's chairs.
I'm just curious. We know you're on billing. Do you do average billing? Do you offer average billing? Okay.
Yep. One of the things that's built into this design is an even monthly payment, which I think is what you're mm-hmm. getting at, making that information more clear for customers as to where they're at. Are they over or under on their average as they've, you know, go through the year? And then, of course, that gets updated every year to right size or, you know, true up their new average.
Sure.
But it's nice for them to know on a monthly basis how they're progressing. If they're going to see an increase next year or are they going to see an increase or a decrease. Okay, and then I wanted to note here that this is relevant not just to our customers who receive a paper bill in the mail, but also to other customers who are receiving that electronically. It's a PDF in their inbox, but the look of what we do is going to be important for that format just as much as it was for the customer who gets the paper version. All right, a little bit of the process of our design. We started here with a focus on customer needs. And the industry term, and I'm not an expert on these things, but human-centered design, which is that we don't want to sit in our cubicle and think about what the best thing is for our customers and then have it turn out to be a flop. That would be a real failure. Instead, we want the customers to be able to use the bill. And, of course, we do that through a survey format. Part of it is also thinking about how it shows up in the way that they are receiving that, putting ourselves in that chair, and building the design to fit that end use. So that is really the focus here. We went through a series of steps to do that. We looked at many other utilities' bills that they've been using, and then several of those who had just been through a recent redesign. We want to get to the state of the art, and there are things that are, you know, our new system that will allow, and we want to be able to use those bells and whistles that we can, and see kind of where the industry is at. So we went through that process, looked at other existing bills, looked at bills that had been just recently redesigned, and then set on a process to gather customer feedback and input. We have I use the word crowdsourced, but it's a group of our customers who have opted in to be a virtual focus group for us, and it's called Otter Voice. And so the next slide talks a bit about that. It's 900 customers across our service territory, so it's a sample of our total. It's not nearly everybody, but we're growing that group over time as people choose to become part of it. About 300 of those customers are in North Dakota, and so that opportunity for us to get focused points of input as well. So after we had looked at other utility bills, we had made our first design ideas and choices, we put together a sample, we sent that out to this Otter Voice community, and they helped give us feedback in terms of what they liked, what looked good, what was easy to understand, what things they had questions about, and then brought that back and made a few refinements and changes, and then had a second round where we offered them a chance to get a look at the more complete design. The feedback we got was very positive. Certainly the leap forward in the bill look from what it was to what it's going to be, more easily understood. Information is presented clearly. The look of it just looks more modern, which has all been received very well.
What were some of the priorities from the Otter Voice responses? What sorts of things did they think were important.
Yeah. You got to turn it on. There.
Thank you.
Okay.
It's technology. Yeah. Some of the things that they gave us feedback on were things, simple little things that you probably wouldn't even necessarily think of. Like if you look at the bill, you'll notice that it's got the day of the week, the actual date. That was actually feedback from the customer that said, you know, if I see Thursday, November 22nd, whatever, I'll remember that date in my head and I'll know that that's my due date and I'll know that I'll need to pay it on that. I would have never thought of that. Some of the other things were just more information surrounding the clarity of the pricing, that kind of thing. And I think with our new structure, the way it's laid out, you know, kind of meter by meter with all those associated charges, that was much more visible to them to see exactly in a very nice, I think, maybe I'm a little biased, nice, easy format top to bottom for them to understand versus kind of a boxed look that we had on our old bill, kind of boxed up. So things like that. Payment options, just like we've added that QR code, which I think is just going to make it easier for them to think about, you know, the ways that they can pay it. So those are the things that come to mind right away. There were several things, but those are some of the top things. So.
Great. Yeah, the day of the week is a great example of a thing that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think of, but it's great to have that input and that feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Some of the key ways that it will help our customers. First one, there are no limitations on information display. I mean, basically, if we have more information that we want to present, we can put that in there. We're not limited to a certain number of lines or characters. That's really useful. The font was updated. The look of the whole design was changed. We have some call-out features where we can highlight the information that's most relevant. We've chosen to do the first page being the high-level information and the second page really being the detail that supports that. So that's an opportunity for customers if they want to just know how much do I owe on what date. They can see that very quickly and easily on the front page. If they want more details as to what went into that bill or the usage information that's provided on the second page. Julian mentioned the QR code. That's really an opportunity for us to present a lot of detail that not every customer is going to need to see every month, but every so often they may want to just be reminded of, okay, what does that stand for? We use a term. What does that include? And then we can have that definition still readily available, but not taking up so much real estate on the bill itself. Clarity of information will reduce confusion, and this is both in terms of our customers and then also enabling, as I said, our customer service representatives to be able to answer those questions. A few examples of that, the seasonal rate change, we always are transitioning or twice a year from a summer rate to a winter rate, and when that occurs currently, our bill design ends up showing, you know, a chunk of the bill on each of those different seasonal rates, which is okay, but it causes confusion because the customer isn't sure what time period necessarily they're talking about, or are they being, sometimes you get the concern, I guess, that is it being duplicated? And no, that's not happening, but this look will make it much more clear. This amount of kilowatt hours are being billed at this rate, this amount of kilowatt hours at this rate, and it'll be more straightforward to follow and for our customer service representatives to answer that as well. The rider charges right now in our current bill sort of follow at the end of the bill, even if there are several meters going into that ahead of it. And it, to me, as a customer, makes it feel like an add-on at the end as opposed to an element of how the bill is being calculated. The new format will allow the riders to show up in the same column with that meter, and then there'll be each meter will have its all the charges associated with that meter all together. So it'll be much more clear this amount of usage, this rate, this bill, and so forth.
And that is all referenced on like page 2 of the bill.
Correct. Yep. In the more detailed section. Yep. Okay. One addition since we submitted this filing that I wanted to just highlight was that, again, from either customer feedback or an update we thought would be useful is to add a due date for the late, if they are going to receive a late charge, when would that occur? What date would that take in effect on. So that is one other thing we're going to include as well.
That's kind of small print.
What's that?
I mean, for a feedback from a customer, I'm looking on page one. If payment is not credited to your account by November, it's like number six. It's kind of small print if that was one of their concerns.
And it's a very small, of course, if you're seeing a smaller version of it, but that's good feedback to have, too. You know, just to think about, you know, whether it needs to be called out. So I did put a couple examples here, and you have them from the filing as well to see, but just really the mostly here to show the contrast between our old bill looked like our current bill that is. For a residential customer, this is the format. And then for a residential customer under the new bill, it's pretty hard to see up here, but maybe the details in the filing are a little bit more easy to pick out. We do have highlighted, as also is included in the filing, the specific requirements from the administrative code where those things show up on the bill, so that's highlighted as well. And the only major difference between the, and maybe Julian would have other ones besides this, but the residential customer bill and the commercial customer bill, the commercial customer is going to have a metered demand, so that's going to take the place of some of the summary information that you have on a residential bill. This is a little bit different format, and it matters what matters to them. So, for instance, the seasonal overlay is a different format for the commercial customer than for the residential customer. So I hope that's better for them. So, and then, yeah, here's the same contrast for a commercial customer. Lots of detail, a little bit difficult to see exactly what matters to them. Hopefully it stands out much more clearly in the new format. Okay, a little bit back, Commissioner Haugenhofer, to your original question. This is just some information to introduce the topic and, your feedback. Let me maybe pause for a second and say the process from here, the design is in place, but in order to have it be ready to go out to customers, we have to build some aspects of our programming in our current system. It will take some time to do that. We want the feedback now so that we can incorporate that in that process, and then early in 2024 is when we'd actually roll this out to customers. So that's where the time frame is here.
Yeah. Well, I first have to say compliment you on having that otter voice, that advisory group, or for feedback. Like you said, they're your customers, so yep. They're the ones who have to understand it and what do they need and how can you meet their needs. So I applaud you for doing that. I have a couple questions just regarding the bill, and I'm sorry, just to understand. On page one, under the previous balance was $150, they made a payment. What's the adjustment, that dollar?
I can probably speak to that.
Please do.
The adjustments will be, if you want to think of that section on the front as a summarization of all the charges that are on page two on the top
okay.
left corner where we can't list everything individually. So adjustments would be things, there could be an interim rate adjustment, there could be a lot of different, there could be a late charge that's going to be impacting on that as well. Julie might be able to speak to some other things as well. Anything that could affect the billing that's outside maybe of that normal, what we call the standard normal billing, you're going to have some other things that are going to happen. So when you take your normal billing, right, any adjustments, that's going to be your bottom dollar amount that you need to pay. Right, so it's kind of a summarization of all the charges that could occur. There might be a fuel assistance payment from a customer. There could be several of them, and a customer could maybe make another one, and that would flow to payments. But your specific question about adjustments would be all those other things that could happen on the bill outside of normal.
That has got to create a lot of calls.
What's that?
That has to create a lot of calls for you guys. Adjustments as what is that?
Is there, do you think that there's an issue with that language, adjustments itself, or something that could be better?
I mean, that's got to be back to your group. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so okay. I'm just saying.
Is there a place that it comes from on the bill so they can see what it is? Is there
like
a place
to go to? I mean, I don't know. That's just,
yep.
I had no idea, and I looked. for adjustments.
And I think there's a little bit of language on the back, like right below more payment adjustment billing information on the back right below that section. So the information like on page 2 on the top in the upper left-hand corner would contain the specifics on that. So that was the tie-in that we tried to draw with that summary box on the front. And the
so that late charge is that dollar, that's the adjustment.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. So most customers, that will be zero every month.
Most customers what?
That will be zero. If you just get your bill,
absolutely
pay
will.
Your bill,
it absolutely will.
And then,
yep.
So
that's exactly
gonna,
right.
Mm-hmm. Initially, I was misunderstanding. You were talking about the riders and everything.
Okay. Yeah.
The riders, I'm assuming, are just part of their bill.
That's right.
This is for
exceptions.
Unique.
Yeah.
Exceptional
that's,
circumstances.
That's correct.
Okay.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I guess I would just be used to seeing that as a late charge.
Well, it could be
yep.
used for other things,
things
though,
yeah.
right?
Yep.
So
right.
it's more general. That's
so
why
it's all inclusive. Yep. Yep. That's exactly right.
I guess, I'm sorry that I don't know this, but on that even monthly billing, that's where we talked about, oh, that's your average billing. That's where that is. Okay, never mind. I answered my own question. I asked it out loud. I like the color blue. I bet you got feedback from people
Otter
who are
loves blue.
From people who are colorblind, so, they can't see red.
Yeah, we did go through that.
Yep.
We actually went through all that as well. We had somebody on our team that actually is colorblind. And we ran through all of that for him as well to make sure that he was seeing things the way he needed to see them. So,
well, I live with someone who's colorblind, so I notice things like that right away.
I was going to suggest green and gold. Never mind.
Randy has bad taste. Just ignore
yeah.
him.
Well, maybe Randy's wife says he's colorblind, too.
What's that?
Maybe Randy's wife says he's colorblind.
She definitely does.
You know, I liked a lot. I liked the information. I wasn't overwhelmed. You know, just like call before you dig and different stuff. So, anybody else have questions on page 1 before I proceed?
I have one.
Okay.
Because you've covered, I think, the other one for page 1. The box that has the even monthly payment status. What percentage of your customers are using that?
Oh.
Roughly.
Have that
a
number.
Third.
I apologize. I had that number at one point, and now it's gone. Does anyone here know?
I was wondering if we had a footnote about that.
I know it's a good percentage, but I don't want to give a false number either.
I kind of do remember that being in the file.
I have, it's on bottom page 6. Approximately 10% of our residential customers use the even monthly
okay.
payment.
Yeah.
So what goes in that space if for the 90%?
If they're not EMP customers, it's white space. It's blank.
Mm-hmm. I think I'll wait with the rest until you're on page 2. But
what's your energy share
page 1?
Donation? Is that
I don't on page 1.
What's that program? I'm just curious.
In North Dakota, customers are able to contribute information for low income that goes towards low income customers, so they can put an energy share donation on their bill. They can do it online right now at our online profile or our online experience, I should say, payment. And you can, those funds are handled internally and turned over to the assistance agencies, is my understanding. I don't know I'm not involved in the background of it. But
and then does a customer have to apply for that to get the funds?
Well, I think it's all pooled together. I don't know the background. I mean, they'd have to apply for energy assistance as far as how they the funds were administered. I'm not sure. Someone else can speak to that.
But yep, looked like a very interesting program.
Yeah.
Page 2. Under the controlled service, just explain where it says you have the meter, then you have the date reading estimate, and then reading. Difference there for me.
You take that one out, or did you? Well, you're on a roll here, Julie, so I don't know why I would stop you.
I don't. I'm happy to help if I can. So just questioning the estimated reading or just how that's displayed in general?
Yeah, I mean,
the difference between, I mean, I know what an estimate and then the reading. So that was the reading on the 19th, the 15th, the actual reading. Then the billing goes out, and then you base it on the reading estimate?
So what that is trying to say, currently on our bill design, we'll have a little E for estimator kind of down at the bottom, and maybe that, I don't know if it's visible on our other designs, indicating to the customer that it was an estimated billing, right? So we didn't, for whatever reason, roll a truck to take an actual reading on that meter at the time. Variety of things can happen. So in this format, we wanted to display it. It's a requirement. So we wanted to, I believe, wanted to display to the customers that the 9/15 reading in this scenario was an actual reading, but the October 15th reading would have been an estimate. So that gives them an understanding that if there is a discrepancy in the bill, high, low, whatever, or it might look a little off, that there might be justification and a reason for that because the reading was estimated. So we include that for their, I guess, for their knowledge, and maybe that would help explain it to them. So hopefully that.
One of the things with a sample bill.
I have one question on that topic, but go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to offer that the sample bill is trying to address all the various situations that might present themselves on a bill, and because there are so many, you know, potential ways that it could work out for a customer. What you see here includes a variety of things that not every customer is going to see every time. So, for instance, I think part of your answer here, Jolene, is if we encounter the situation where we have an estimated reading, this is where you would see it. But it isn't that would be a typical
Your
bill.
New system doesn't require you to roll the trucks, right? So you will get...
I think you're jumping ahead when we get to the automated metering option. When we get to that point, that will be the case.
Okay.
That's a little farther down the road, but yeah.
All right.
Again, so I didn't really offer this in the beginning as introduction either, but there's a suite of improvements for the sake of our customers that the bill redesign, you know, following from the customer information system, it moves that farther ahead. And then the metering is going to be, you know, yet another step forward for our customers, and that'll bring enhancements that will feed into these things too.
I was already there. I thought that was in and ready and
we're working
up
on
and running.
It.
Yeah. Once we approve it, we think that it's done. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead, Randy. You have a question related to that.
Not sure if it just got answered, but because I thought so too.
Yeah.
But that this was coinciding with the rollout of that. So once that is done, there won't be any more estimate recommended. You'll have your reading.
I want to say it'll be very, very rare. I think that question has come up internally, and there's some system issue where there could still be an estimate, but in general, yes, there would not be a need for that anymore. Because we have meters that are communicating.
And refresh me from that other case. Currently, do you read all your meters manually, or do some people have electronic reading?
We have very few meters that are communicating back to us. Almost all of them are read manually.
Okay. And so, other than rare occurrences, why would you estimate? Or is this just for those rare occurrences where it snowed or something so you couldn't send somebody out?
Yeah, today that is probably the most likely situation where it was, you know, a weather. Or sometimes we encounter restricted access, you know, to a fenced-in yard or something where we can't, and there's a dog or something where they really don't want us in there. There might be a reason where we'd have to do that.
So in the big majority of the builds, that third line under number two would just say reading. It would not say estimate.
Correct.
Because you would have read it as well as the previous month actual.
Correct.
Okay.
You're going to regret this, putting all of these anomalies in one bill for us to look at, because that's what we're focusing
yep.
on. But just, I want to just restate so I'm clear and we're all clear. You're doing all this so we could see all the anomalies, but never will all of these anomalies be on one bill. Unlikely. It's very unlikely. It's an example.
Correct. Yes. Okay. And, you know, we have this in the sample so that if a customer looks at their bill and they see, you know, something on there and they don't call us, but they want to know, how can I find this information out myself? This way, if it's in our sample, they can go look and, oh, that's what that means.
Sure.
And they can perhaps answer the question themselves. if it's not in here, there's really no way for them to know without calling, which is a fine option too, but, you know, we want to answer the questions ahead of time if we can.
I have some other questions, but I can go after you guys have done. If you have more, Randy and Sherry.
I don't have one right now.
No, not on the bill. You explained it. I mean, I was like, wow, this is a lot of information, but that's everything. So.
Okay, now the tough one.
I've got three. But customer charge prorated, is that an anomaly? Or is that just how you're stating that that's, isn't it a monthly customer charge? Or what is it prorated as? I guess that would be what I'd be curious about when I saw that.
I'll go first, and then you can correct me.
No, I won't correct you.
the customer charge is a monthly amount, but because the number of days in a month fluctuates, you're never getting exactly that amount. So you get the portion of it for.
So if you say monthly, some customers will be like, wait a minute, this is more than it was last month. I thought it was a monthly charge, so you have to use a different term that's less clear but more accurate.
More accurate than I just
Well, was. I think, you explained it right. And this is currently happening right now, the proration on the bill. It's just 365 days divided by 12 divided by, and to get it down to what it is. So to your point, it does change every month. It could change every month. It's usually minimal, that it might be cents moving one way or the other, but it does.
One of the terms.
Maybe just call it annual customer charge, prorated. And then that would be clear that I just was, if I saw that, I would think prorated from what? Like, what is it? Since you're not calling it monthly.
Yeah, one of the terms, proration is one of the terms that's defined in that list of terms that shows up with the QR code, because customers may ask that question and want that fuller explanation. So then it describes to them how that is calculated based on a 365-day calculation.
Would it explain a bit? I'm thinking out loud because I really hadn't thought that. But would it be clear to the customers, do you think, if it said, after what you have on here, where it says customer charge prorated, if you just had in parentheses 29 days, 32 days, whatever it was.
Is it on there now?
The current bill does have the formula, if you will, on there. We omitted that because it got to be, I don't want to say busy, or maybe even a little confusing and how the placement and all of that, but that actually is on the design as far as how that's arrived at, to get to that amount.
Or you could say annual customer charge and then in parentheses prorated by days or something.
Or daily,
like that.
Daily customer charge is an option.
Or daily customer charge.
Yep.
That would be
same information.
Something like that too. So get rid of prorated.
For MDU, we do it slightly differently. So for Ottertail, we've approved a monthly customer charge. For MDU, we do a daily amount that we've approved. So on a MDU bill, as a kind of to compare and contrast a little bit of what we're talking about, theirs would show, 84 cents. Actually, I think it's like out to the fourth decimal place. 84 cents per day times X number of days. So that would be an option, I think, if you would rather present it in that kind of way. I just don't know. Since we've approved it on a monthly basis, it's a little weird and nuanced. So it wouldn't quite follow the tariff, potentially. So I like the ideas a lot. I don't want to get you guys into a violation of a tariff situation.
Thanks, Victor. And I think our preference here is to keep it, because we're putting this forth in all three states, that we'd like to keep it this way for now, but that might be something that in our next rate case, and we want to make a big change in how that's presented, we could come forth with that probably.
And you received no feedback from your group that was confusing or anything? Because what you said to me, what I heard, is that it was on the old bill and explained, so moving forward, they understood it.
Yeah. The question that we were most likely to get on the customer charge is, what is it for? And not regarding the proration.
Is that fair?
Or how it's calculated.
Yeah, the question is just understanding what the charge in itself is comprised of.
Mm. Interesting. Okay, then the other ones on the renewable and generation rider. Do customers care how those are calculated, or do you have any additional ways of showing that? I'm curious how that is calculated. other than just the big $814.
I don't have much more information on that one. I think the big change here is, as I noted, here we have the separate meters, and the riders are included with each separate meter as a part of that billing component, versus they used to be all three meters might have been put together.
Right, I get that, but how is it calculated? How do you come up with that amount for a customer?
Is that one of the, is that the term defined in our list if we were to go to?
It's a percentage of bill for Otter Tail.
Yeah, well,
percentage of bill.
Percentage or price per.
It's basically the base energy charge, the customer charge, and the, got to look and see how many charges we have, because I always forget.
I say every once in a while we get that question and I transfer Victor.
I think each of the riders are calculated a little bit differently. Some, one of them might be percent of bill, one of them might be a per kW and a per kWh charge.
Sure.
Depending on what class of customer you are. Mm-hmm. And then Judy probably knows that a little better. Sorry.
So if you scanned again that QR code for this kind of a question, you'd get that explanation. On that's the how the writers are.
When that page is up and going, that is correct.
Yep. Okay, that's probably good. Not many people are going to want that. They have to be nerds.
And it's the balance of how much detail to put on the bill.
And I'm both.
But I'm going to go back to Stacy's. You handle our consumer affairs. So working with Otter Tail and the topic that we're on, how many calls do you get regarding that? Were you transfer, and this might be an educational component that we are getting calls.
To that detail, it's rare, but some people do ask. Majority of calls are disconnect related, which we're going to get to next. Or right after a rate case, if something changes, then we'll get calls. Why did this go up?
So those are minimal on explaining.
Yeah, it's very rare. Every once in a while, we get somebody who wants some really detailed information. Like I said, Victor's always really good about doing that, but it's fairly rare that they want that level.
As a reference point of how many of those calls that I get transferred to me, it's probably one every month or two.
Yeah,
where I am explaining to someone, regardless, and it's not just Otter Tail, it's any of the utilities we regulate. I could get a call with someone wanting to really dive deeply into what's this $2.41 for?
Or there is every once in a while somebody will sit down and try and figure out these numbers, and like I said, they can't figure out how to get that number, and then it's complicated.
Thank you for being available.
Once we provide all this information, I bet we get more calls on that. It'll be interesting.
It'll be easier for our CSRs to answer that exact question. How did you calculate to get to this total? And this format, really, because the numbers are nicely lined up, it walks them through. Yeah. Here's the total. So hopefully we'll get fewer calls in that way.
Right.
But the terms and how it's all designed, I think we get those questions, and we're happy to answer them because they're important for customers to understand.
Can I ask about energy assistance payments? If somebody is on energy assistance, how does that show on their bill and where?
On the new format, it will show in the upper left-hand corner with that will list all of the details, all the things that basically think would occur on that account in the last 30 days since it's billed. On page 2 on the back.
So there'd be another line.
It looks
line.
A little small and compressed there and kind of repetitive from the front, but when there are actual changes and things occurring on a bill, it will kind of take up a life of its own there. But that's what the energy assistance payments would be reflected. And if there were multiple ones, that shows a single payment. If there were multiple payments, they would list all of them by date, as well as any payment that a customer might have made. So there could be 3, 4, whatever it might be, payments that are showing in that, which are then transferring to the front page in that more summarized section on the front.
It shows their actual balance left then.
That's right, yeah. So hopefully the math will work out right.
And if they're on a payment plan, does the front section somehow indicate to them what their agreed payment plan is?
Right, so I will, in full transparency, payment plan, are you referring to budget billing? Or
no,
payment
I'm
plan. Okay,
payment plan, a special payment plan that they set up in order to avoid
that will not show up on the. We have the that will show up on our online portal right now if they've set up a payment plan, but it doesn't show up on the bill. There's too many varying factors, and that we did consider it.
So it's their responsibility to know what they agreed to.
Right, and we'll send them a letter. Go ahead, Julie.
That's what I was just going to say. We can send them a letter after they call in and make those arrangements.
How would it be reflected in the bill? Just the bill would be the same, what they owe and what they've paid. Yep. And
you're
it would show their payments.
Payment arrangements?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't be reflected anywhere on the bill. It would be reflected on our online portal, but not on the actual bill itself. We wouldn't, the timing of that, we wouldn't always know how to get that on a bill and when they make arrangements.
Right.
Yeah, it becomes a little tricky.
Okay. I just ask, we get, a lot of broken payment arrangements.
Yeah.
Right. Ending in disconnects, and I don't think it's because of the bills, it's just what's happening. But I was just curious how that shows up. Because, like you said, it is unique to each customer, what they've agreed to.
Is there any way to even note it? Like, you have a separate payment arrangement that you are obligated to follow or something on those kinds of bills. Is there any way to note that or express it in the bill somewhere if those exist?
You could run into a scenario where it may not even be applicable anymore. For example, a bill, let's say a bill's on the first of the month, the arrangement isn't made until the second of the month. Arrangement is satisfied maybe within the time period before the next billing goes. I mean, you would never really be reflective on there. So
sure.
If that makes sense, a lot of things can happen within that 30 days that satisfy themselves and don't require actually hitting a bill.
Mm.
You know, it wouldn't make sense anymore for it to
sure.
land. It could.
Are most of them that way? They're within a month and they're done?
No. Usually they're like 6 months, 8 months. It's usually like current bill plus $100 or whatever, and it's usually taking them at least 6 months or so to get caught up if they stick to that payment arrangement.
Yeah.
Those are difficult situations, you know, tough situations, and a lot of times working, you would have to go into the individual columns even though you're tracking the payment than to personally itemize or personally tweak that bill, you know. So I understand that.
Yeah, I do too. But I also think that it's probably confusing for customers that it isn't reflected at all. Maybe they know that, but
if they make a payment, it's reflected.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah,
we use the EMP as our.
Not typically, no payment arrangements are usually unique. And
sometimes maybe you could pull that microphone a little closer to you, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. The payment arrangements are usually unique. And sometimes, I'm not saying it would be standard practice, but if we made the arrangement, you know, to your point, and it showed up on a bill, it's possible that a CSR could work with that customer after the fact, possibly modify that arrangement, and then that information on the bill becomes, you know, a little bit misleading or inaccurate. There's a lot of things that go on with payment arrangements, so we work with our customers a lot to help them pay their bills. And so I think the steadiness or whatever the right word is of that being imprinted on a bill, I'm not going to say it's problematic, but there's things that would happen after
sure.
that billing that could potentially change mm-hmm. what that situation was for the customer.
So it shows the outstanding balance always and whatever has been paid, and they just have to go from there.
Anything that hits the account, payments, or other items will be reflected on that billing, right? Which right now we only have the one payment area, so this is, you know, a marked improvement from that. So, and the payment arrangement letter, like we talked about, does go out so they know what their terms are for making those payments on time.
Okay.
Your customer notice box, that's where you can, as an agent company, put different things. That gray box on page 2.
Yeah, so that will be like if we have a filing message, like we're
yep.
doing a filing and we have to notify customers of that filing, that's the message, that's the area that we would put that message in.
Okay, I have a quick one on franchise fee. I know the commission had some concerns about how we were presenting this on bills a few years back. I can dig up whatever that was, but as I was looking through the bill, I saw that line, and I forget what your preference was for what we call a franchise fee on a customer bill. I recall the discussion around city fee.
We were concerned because the city set it, and we just didn't want to be responsible for setting that fee. And so, like, I think we maybe city franchise fee or set it, said something like. Oh, maybe so that's what it was.
Too.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
That's
my rank familiar.
Yeah.
So will that show? Is that how that line would show on the new system, or on the new bills? So instead of just saying franchise fee, it would say Wobbiton franchise fee or something to that effect.
I honestly don't know the answer to that question right now because we're in the process of building the bill out with Kayenta, and that will be one of the things that we would go through in the development phase.
Okay.
Yep, we certainly could, I believe, but we're just not quite to that point yet with development.
Sure.
So
I think
I hope that can happen, and your system is figuring out which ones to apply it to, so it should seem like it should be able to print them different.
Right. I think it's doing it today.
I think so too.
I'm drawing a blank right now.
I know. I am too. I'm like, I can't remember, but I know that's what we agreed upon.
Yeah.
Whether it was, if we can't do it now, we will do it in the future.
Sure.
I know staff had some questions.
I had a couple more on the disconnect, if you guys want to move to the disconnect notice. That's okay. Mm-hmm. On the disconnect notice, would there be value in somewhere here mentioning energy assistance? Is it somewhere that I'm missing?
Specifically outside of the payment arrangements, you mean? That
just something about, if you need assistance, to find out if you're eligible for assistance, contact Energy Assistance at, or something, giving them that number to Human Services to check into Energy Assistance. I know when they call, your operators are really good about, asking them if they've applied, but it might be some value in just putting that number right on here, too.
That's good feedback. Thank you.
Okay. And then when people go paperless, you have paperless option, I'm assuming everyone does these days. The disconnect notices still get mailed, though. Am I correct on that?
That's correct.
Okay. Because I get a lot of, I didn't get a disconnect notice, but for whatever reason. But so I was thinking that they were still required to be mailed no matter what, if it's a disconnect.
Mailed and emailed, right? Both?
I'm assuming if they have an email option, they get emailed also. But I think our rules require mailing.
I think everything is mailed.
Yes, our rule doesn't say you can't email it, but the rule does say you have to send, has to be sent by first class mail.
Okay. By first class mail. I hate to say it, but I think email is more reliable than the mail nowadays.
That's probably true. Yeah, a 10-day disconnect notice might not get to them in 10 days.
It might not.
Anymore.
Yeah.
And I know, Jerry, did you want to talk about the phone calls? Or I can too, because I get them too. But
my question is basically on your disconnect notice, right in your box here where it's got if you have questions and would like to discuss. And then you got on here, for additional questions, contact the Public Service Commission. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I'm on the call center along with some other people, and I get hundreds of calls every day from multiple customers of different companies, and they go, this is the only number that's on the bill. And I go, no, I'm sure if you look, there's some other ones on there. But they call and they want to know why their payment hasn't been on the account. So my question is, do we have to have that sentence even on there? Or can we rearrange it to say for undisputed issues or something other than your account, you know, that way?
I think Victor looked up the rules, and it is required on disconnects.
Yep. So to cover a few of the rule things, so on that one specifically, so what it says is to include the telephone number of the Public Service Commission. That's the only requirement of that. It doesn't specify how it has to be placed. So I like that idea of maybe for ongoing unresolved disputes
mm-hmm.
somehow kind of calling out that, you know, for a special, very special circumstance, essentially, to call the Public Service Commission, because otherwise there's really nothing we can do about it.
It's not just Ottertail. We get it for
right.
everybody, all the telephone companies, even good cooperatives, which I never understood, have our phone number on their bills.
Maybe instead of for additional questions, it should be for unresolved issues
or disputes or something.
Yep, maybe. Yeah, disputes is like unresolved disputes.
I like disputes because that indicates that, yeah, if you have a dispute that you can't.
Then you've talked to somebody at Ottertail already.
Then we're happy to help. But
right.
Other than that, I can't help you with your bill, though.
Right.
Jerry, maybe we should just say call Victor.
And put his cell phone on there.
After hours.
Yeah. Good idea, man.
Good reason to get a different phone number, finally.
Yeah.
Use up that 701. There was one other one that kind of caught my eyes. We were just talking about the first class mail thing. So that section kind of continues. So the notice shall be sent by first class mail to a mail addressed to the customer at the place where the service is rendered, except that in the case of residential customers 65 years of age or older, or handicapped customers, personal notice by delivery is required. I don't even know what that, like, you have to knock on their door and hand them this notice? Do you do that?
I think our service reps are out there doing lots of hand delivery of these things.
Yeah, and for the medical one, they have to have the medical designation on file with the utility. So there's an actual designation that you file with them, and then they would fall into that category too.
Sure. And then it continues on even further, a copy of each notice must also be mailed to the nearest social service office and to any other appropriate financial assistance agency, providing that prior approval has been given by the customer pursuant to subsection 2.
Yes, and once again, that's a box they check on that form, so you guys maybe can talk about it, but they send out a form, I don't know if it's like once a year or whatever, to those groups, and you fill it out if you're 65 or older, if you have a medical condition, and there's a box on there that you check if you want that information sent to social services.
Yep.
It's a yellow postcard.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Do people return it?
Yeah. It's kind of lays out that little postcard. Sections of our rules that we should think about.
And how do we know the ages of everybody?
It's one of the questions.
But
all of
you have to send it.
All of the customers get the
That was a comment. Thank you, Jess, for that clarification, because we wouldn't probably know it if they didn't volunteer that information for us.
What Jerry had my, or the energy assistance, because when I looked at the disconnect, you say disconnect like 6 times, and I just thought, one of the things that have come up in the past is that we're just seeing more people having some financial issues. So I'd like the idea of having some energy assistance information on here, resources for them that would help them. I think you get the hint that they're in a disconnect situation. So I really like that idea.
Anything else?
Anybody back?
Okay, yeah, it was perfectly on schedule too. So you've gone through 12 of 14 slides. Was there something you missed, or is there address, just wrap up stuff?
I don't think so.
Oh, we have that.
You were the list of the items that were noted in there and just the closing. So, yeah, that's it.
So, do we have a copy of that, of those slides?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So,
we don't have a decision to make, though. This is,
correct.
No, this was just informational and feedback.
And that's what I wanted to clarify. Is there any dispute about that, that it would require an approval? Okay. Then, I guess one more time around, anybody have anything else to add? Okay. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
We have lots of good places in North Dakota to spend money if you want to stay a couple days. Our chamber will be welcome to have you.
We rolled out the good weather for you.
Yes.
Yeah. It's always like here. This is how it always is.
Uh-huh. Yes. Perfect.
Yeah. With that, this informal hearing is concluded. Thank you.
Thank you.